Today's program is brought to you by Forever Cheese, Masters of the Mediterranean. For more information, visit forevercheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you from Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jacqueline Raposo, the producer and one of your hosts here. It's winter. Ben, my darling co-host and dear friend, is hard at work in Portland, Oregon. And in his absence, I'm taking a little personal hibernation. But we've got a really lovely series to share with you, Couples of the Food World. We've asked five couples in the food and hospitality industries the same questions about how they make working, living, and loving together happen. Where are the joys, and where are the hardships? Today we're sharing a show we recorded a few weeks ago and saved just for you. So we hope you enjoy it. And if you want to find out what we are doing right now, who we are dating, and how we are loving, you can always find us as at Love Bites Radio on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And don't forget to tag us on your tweets and photos, or use the hashtag GiveLove so that we can follow along with what you're doing too. Happy winter. Enjoy the show.
Michael Whiteman is president of Baum and Whiteman Worldwide, in business since 1971. They created five of New York's three-star restaurants, as well as the legendary Windows on the World and the Rainbow Room. A recipient of the Silver Spoon Award from Food Arts Magazine, he was the founding editor of the hospitality industry's first newspaper, Nation's Restaurant News. Is a frequent contributor to magazines and media outlets, and lectures around the world as a food futurist and trends pundit. Roseanne Gold is a chef, author, journalist, and philanthropist. At the age of 24, she was the first chef to New York Mayor Ed Koch, and went on to become consulting chef to the Rainbow Room and Windows on the World. She is a graduate of the New School with an MFA in poetry, where she teaches the language of food, exploring the intersection of cuisine and commerce, poetry, and prose. A four-time winner of the James Beard Award, Roseanne is the author of 13 cookbooks and more than 600 articles about food, trends, and dining culture. Wow, you are all so, so very distinguished. Thank you, Michael and Roseanne, for being here with us today.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Fun being here.
And I had to really trim their bios in order to make them not take the 40 minutes we have for this show.
I know, I just got nervous as I was reading
excited?
That now.
Like, I have a huge smile on my face.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, welcome. Thank you so much for coming down to Brooklyn and joining us.
Well, we live in
coming
Brooklyn.
Coming down to Brooklyn. We live in Brooklyn.
Well, it's coming down
I know, for us.
For us.
I know, we came
to
their neighborhood
to Brooklyn
today.
Well, thank you for letting us come into your borough to speak with us today. We're very excited that we have you because you've done so many things in your field slash fields in hospitality and food across the board. But we're going to start with your love story, your origin story. Mm. So please tell us some basics. How long have you been together and how did you first meet?
Michael, shall I start?
Yes.
Okay.
I love how you're pointing at each other. You're like,
We've been married for 29 years, and I am Michael's third wife, just to give you a sense of what a victory that is for one of us. I'm not sure which. So we're happily married. We happily work together, and we fell in love in a car on our way to King's Supermarket in Morristown, New Jersey. Michael told me he fell in love with the left side of my face because he kept on looking at the left side of my face on the
way
to Morristown.
Wait, how did you get into the car together?
I knew he should have started.
Yeah, well, that's the beginning of the story because we were hired as consultants to rethink King's Supermarkets, which is a really luxury, was then a luxury right. brand in New Jersey.
Was this before you worked on Windows of the World and Rainbow Room together?
After,
this was after.
After.
Oh, okay.
And, oh, I'm
oh,
sorry, before.
We, this is, all right, this was before.
Joe Baum, who was my late partner, hired Roseanne over my objections.
Why did you object? Wait. Why did you object?
You can say.
Well, Roseanne looked at the time.
I mean, there's a happy ending, so we can. Yes, that's yes, why we can
yes,
ask.
Yes, Roseanne looked at the time as if she had just emerged from the Sahara Desert. And her hair was out to here, wherever here is. She was highly zoftic and wore a lot of big flashy jewelry and a fair amount of makeup. She looked fabulous, but...
so all the reasons you fell in love with her were reasons yeah, that unnerved you.
But our client was very conservative. And so I invited her to breakfast the day after she was hired and suggested that she had to tone down.
I should have
and
left
did
him.
You?
I should have left him then. Right. But I was really excited about working for Joe Baum. I didn't know too much about Michael Whiteman at the time. I did. And look at me now. Huh, Jacqueline, can you believe it? Small earrings, hardly any makeup.
Well, so who... So
and still gorgeous.
Aww. I know. We have lots of awes on these.
I know, in this series. This is the awe series. It's not the couple series. It's the awe series. So you fell in love with the left side of her face on this drive. When did you fall in love, Roseanne?
Much later.
Really?
Yeah, it took a while. We are 15 years apart. I'm not sure Michael was exactly what I was looking for. And I knew it was never a good idea to fall in love with your boss. Mm. And so it was a little bit of a slow build.
And it was complicated.
It was kind of complicated.
What was complicated about it back then, especially with that relation, with that dynamic?
Well, it was exactly that, big age difference. Mm-hmm. We were working together. And Roseanne was nominally working for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of those complications.
Was there romance taking place, though, between the two of you?
It was building.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember calling my father and saying, I don't know, Dad, Mr. Whiteman wants to take me out for breakfast this morning. What do you think? So, and Michael was sort of recently ending a marriage. And I think
another complication to...
Yes. And I think it was a little soon. You know, I was kind of aware of that, so I wanted to be careful with the timing, and it took a little while.
So why do you, I feel like a lot of people, that's a concern for a lot of people in the beginning of a relationship when you're unsure as to whether the societal norms are going to work for or against you when you're breaking them in a way. So what about your attraction for each other was bigger than those parameters? What happened, or what do you remember about that period that made you risk that?
Thoughtful question.
Thank
well,
you.
What makes this relationship unusual at the beginning is that it wasn't as if we had just met in a bar somewhere and we saw each other once or twice a week. We saw each other all day, every day, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. So in between the work, there was energy building.
Yeah. And then letters, and then really looking forward to seeing each other. I don't know. It's really sweet to even think about back then. We don't think about this too much. So thanks for the opportunity. But, hey, Michael, this is really nice.
let's do it again.
Do you remember?
We had a very rocky marriage, very rocky relationship. And I think some of it really did have to do, it had nothing to do with not loving each other. It's styles. And working together was challenging. So, you know, I don't know if many of your guests have very happy stories about the ease of working together all the time and being involved in creative projects, but we had many challenges.
Well, we're going to get to those specifically after the break, but what do you remember who said, we'll definitely dig into those after the break. But I'm holding myself back here.
I wanted to go right
here. No. I'm holding myself back here because I can see us falling into that rabbit hole. Do you remember who said I love you first?
It
Maybe it didn't happen.
You know, it's so funny. So much of our relationship in the beginning period really took place in the car.
Yes.
And I remember once being in the car in the front seat and this idea of being on the passenger side of a man. I once wanted to write a song about that because I don't drive. So, you know, that's a very interesting seat for me. But I remember at one point I decided, Michael, that no matter what, I wanted to spend the rest of my life with you and travel with you, and that if I had a year to live, that I would just want to stop everything and just be with you and be in the world with you and travel with you.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Ben.
I know. Clutching our chests.
Yeah,
here.
Very romantic.
That was magic, David. Thank you. Thank you for that, David, in the booth. Do you remember what car you were in or where you were going when you had that moment, Rosie?
Well, I would pick once a week. We had to go to Morristown to work on King's Supermarkets, and so I would pick Roseanne up at her apartment on 17th Street. Mm-hmm. And depending on traffic, it was an hour and a half drive, and an hour and a half drive back. That's 3 hours. And then 3 hours at the client's supermarket. So, you know, it was a lot of time together.
Did you bring wooing snacks or anything? Was there any, like, food-related thing that you're like, oh, I know that she likes this. I know he likes this. I'll bring it for the car ride.
No, because we were going to eat when we got it. Roseanne was given the challenging job of figuring out how to create a line of prepared food for a really upscale supermarket. And we had been hired to rethink the whole company. So we were I'm going back a lot of years. So we were the first people to put open kitchens with real chefs into supermarkets. And Roseanne was creating all of the food that this fellow was going to be cooking.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, now that we've gotten a lot of awes in already, I think it's time to pitch you against each other and tear it down a little bit. What do you say, Ben?
Yes, we should play the oldly wed game where we'll see, we will test your knowledge of each other and just see how much you've learned about each other over the last 29 years of marriage. So before the show, we asked you to answer 5 questions about yourself and then answer the same questions about each other. And now we're going to see which of them you got right. So,
I think we're going to get a lot wrong. That's all I can say.
It's all right.
I'm cool.
Yeah. Then you'll see, you know.
then we'll take a break and we'll talk about nice, warm, fuzzy things after the break again.
Yes. Okay. So, okay. Question number one. What is your partner's favorite comfort food?
Michael, what is Roseanne's favorite comfort food?
Gorgonzola.
Is that true?
You know, he's right.
But, is that what you wrote down, though?
No.
Oh, no.
So I don't know my own favorite comfort food.
He knows you better than you know yourself.
What did you write?
That is
what did you write down?
Well, cabbage and noodles, which is my comfort food growing up. And I think that's my comfort food. But truthfully, Michael is correct.
Well, wow. Next time should you make it, put gorgonzola in it.
Ben, should we give it to Michael?
Yeah, I think we have to, right?
One is your true favorite comfort food when you think about the comfort food of your soul? Is it
gorgonzola?
It's gorgonzola. So I think we should give it to Michael then.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. Ding, 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 ding. Yep.
Okay.
One for Michael. All right, Roseanne, what is Michael's
favorite? What's his favorite comfort food?
Cereal.
Right.
Nice.
All right.
I can see it too. I can see I'm like cheating Emily over his shoulder. I see what he's got written down there. Okay, number two. What is your partner's sign for when they want to get frisky?
Michael, what's Roseanne's sign for let's get frisky?
Pooch.
Oh, she'll call you Pooch?
Yes.
Yes.
Yay! And Roseanne? Uh-oh.
She's blushing.
This is an embarrassing one, we can tell. It's great. Perfect.
Yes. Yes, dear.
Is that right?
Well, he always says that.
I should have put that down, but I used it for something else.
Uh-oh.
What did you write?
Oh, is this the one that you didn't write anything?
What did you write for?
What did you write?
I wrote Sweetheart.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, but.
It's okay.
It's okay.
That's all right. 2-1.
2-1.
2-1. All right, number.
This is fascinating.
Isn't it?
We're learning a lot about each other.
Number three.
Okay, number three. How does your partner let you know that you're in trouble with him or her?
We'll let Roseanne go first this time. Roseanne, how does Michael let you know that you're in trouble?
Oh, he walks away.
that what you put?
I should have put that down. I didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer.
Oh, my God.
And how does she let you know that you're in trouble with her?
Oh, I go, I'm sorry. I got it backwards. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not say that on the air.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Oh, wow. All right. I can't wait to hear. I actually have no idea what he's going to say.
Yeah, I think that's a good reaction for that one. I feel like that whole question.
We'll just move on to the next question Question number four. What is your partner's favorite alcoholic beverage?
Wine.
Yes. But specifically red. But I love all kinds. But I would say my favorite is red wine.
Okay.
And what's his?
Oh, this is like the easiest thing. This is the only thing I really know about Michael. An ultra dry up gin martini, no fruit, no olives, no lemon, nothing.
Oh, Michael just sagged in his chair.
No.
Actually, she's right. But I wrote wine.
Are you kidding me?
Uh oh.
She's
do
we right.
do Jacqueline and I need to leave the room
I
for
know,
a moment
getting,
to let you two fight
really
it out?
Nervous.
Or,
no.
You know, she should get half a point for really getting it right.
Well, we'll give her the full point.
I feel like we're going to give her the full point for that.
You know,
because
it's funny. I don't know how it's coming across or we're coming across, but we're having the best time.
Okay,
this
good.
Is a riot.
Yes, let's definitely make sure.
Excellent.
Because, okay, number five.
Well, we've got one question left, so let's enjoy it. What would be your partner's last meal?
Last supper.
Roseanne would want Gorgonzola and Chateau Yquem 1937.
Yeah, that was my first Yquem. That was pretty delicious. I remember it. Yes, I wrote Gorgonzola cheese, but also smoked salmon, wine, grape bread and butter, and black coffee.
I like how David did a half ring there.
Yeah, we'll give you the point for getting a portion of it.
I think we'll give you the point,
Yes.
And Roseanne, what is Michael's?
I had no idea, and I'm so excited to really find out the truth, and I wrote the stupidest thing. I wrote Coco Van.
not bad, but I wrote pasta with foie gras and truffles.
Oh.
I may as well go out in a blaze of glory.
With a 37 year Kim. That would be very tasty.
So,
I hope Michael
wins. 3-2, 4-2?
It's like 3.5-2.
3.5-2 in favor of our winner.
Michael.
Well, Roseanne, you've got some learning to do about your man here.
That's really not fair because I won twice on Gorgonzola.
Well, she loves that Gorgonzola.
And I feel like that martini comment should have gotten some extra points, too. That was very impressive.
I call it a tie.
Yeah.
But you know what's so...
Oh, but see, I call it a tie. I like that.
Oh, but I'm
That's
so excited that he won. For two reasons.
Oh, my goodness.
No, honestly, this is wonderful. This is much better than therapy, Michael. Why didn't we just come here for so many years?
We can charge you if you want.
I'm so excited that he won, number one, and that he won because it was about me, and a connection with me is pretty cool.
Double bonus. Double bonus.
I love the double ahs there, too. Love the double ahs. Ben, it's on the other form. It's on your other form. Sorry, we're going to go into a commercial break.
This is as long as I can
find
I can read it.
I know.
I know. Buzz me. That's right. I lose.
Ben,
the winners today are everyone in the room but me. On that note, we are going to take a quick break to hear a word about our sponsor. But a reminder first that you can find all of our shows archived on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, as well as at www.heritageradionetwork.org. And while you're there, we'd love to have you throw a few dollars towards Heritage Radio. As a nonprofit, member-supported station devoted to all things food, your money goes directly towards helping our tiny and devoted team produce over 30 weekly live shows, plus members-only events and special programs. So head over to heritageradionetwork.org/donate, and we will love you forever. We'll be right back.
Have you tasted the world's best cheese? Grand Cru Sur Soye is the 2016 World Cheese Champion. Our partners at Roth, Wisconsin make this gorgeous Alpine-style cheese in the rolling hills of Greene County, Wisconsin. Grand Cru Sauchois is produced by hand in Swiss copper vats and finished by aging on spruce planks. The quality milk and careful craftsmanship bring out the award-winning light floral notes, nutty undertones, a hint of fruitiness, and a mellow finish. Perfect with Riesling and Muscat, Grand Cru Sauchois is a guaranteed hit for any occasion. Check out their other offerings at rothcheese.com. You'll discover Buttermilk Blue and their newest release, Prairie Sunset, the golden-hued love child of Mimolette and Gouda. You'll also find recipes like the Raclette Reuben and tomato tartlets. Everything you need to know about the world's best cheese is at rothcheese.com.
And we are back with Roseanne Gold and Michael Whiteman.
Yay!
Yay! And now we are going to dig into the trials that we had sort of touched on in our first half about how hard it was, you said, in the beginning, especially in the beginning of your relationship, working together and developing your romance and getting married. So really, what were the beginning stages of, what were the hardest conflicts? Let's jump to your actual, when you were getting married, your union. What were the hardest things about working together, especially as you were working on these huge restaurants that were iconic for New York, that meant so much to so many people? What were the hardest things in the early years about being partners in different capacities, and in both huge capacities, both very significant public eye, lots of responsibility for many people's jobs? I know, I feel like this, I'm like so much pressure on your work, but there was, I mean, you were responsible for a lot of people's, you know, success in these, in the work that you were doing. So what were the hardest things about doing that together as a couple?
So maybe I'll start, because the challenge for me was I started working for three guys who were a team, and a very famous team. I mean, I always wanted to work for Joe Baum ever since I realized one could be a restaurant consultant. And here I got the opportunity, and I walk into a space where it's Joe, Michael, and Dennis Sweeney, the third partner, and they've been together for already 20 years doing extraordinary, important projects all over the world. So not only was I a woman, I was a newcomer. It was a job that I really needed to create, and there was a tremendous amount of tension kind of fitting in, and I think really I wasn't treated that well by the group, and I also understand that, but that was a big challenge. And then to add the kind of falling in love and becoming a couple was also a challenge, and all of this was, you know, feels a little bit dramatic against the backdrop of opening and creating new restaurants. So I know that was challenging for me. What about you, Michael?
I just to build on what you said, we had been together as a team for a large number of years, and we had already worked on some big projects. We had already created Windows on the World and everything in the World Trade Center from the very beginning. And the tension rose rather quickly when it became evident to my other two partners that there was a romance blooming here. And so bringing Roseanne on as the genius to all of our food creation brought along also some unintended consequences.
I do have to tell you, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I will. Michael and I needed to travel because a lot of our clients were other places. And one day, and it was very new in our relationship, and I think things were just beginning to become a little intimate, we went to a meeting in the morning after staying over the night before, and everyone looked at Michael and started laughing because there was lipstick on his collar.
Scandalous.
Michael, do you remember that? I'm still mortified by that.
not only that, but you got up first in the morning and you used my razor. And when I got up to shave in order to go to this client meeting, which for people we'd never met before, of course, then the hair wouldn't come off my face.
Oh, dear.
So charming.
Did there ever come a time in the relationship where you had to have like a formal discussion about, you know, what the issues of having the relationship and working together were? And if so, what was that conversation like, and how did you really overcome those obstacles?
For me, after a while, it became very, I felt like I was losing my identity, quite honestly. Again, there's the couple part of this, but there's also the woman part of this. And I left. I mean, I still had the job as being the chef director of the company, but I started writing cookbooks. And I remember the first cookbook was called Little Meals, which was actually a concept that started at the Rainbow Room. And then I started working at home. It was very difficult to break through that little trio of male energy and this little fraternity. And I sometimes felt really bad about it, too.
Had you shared that concern with Michael at the time, that was one of the reasons why you were backing away from that active work with the company?
I certainly did, but I don't know if he remembers.
I do. And you didn't have to share it because it was clear and evident. It was a rocky beginning because of all of the conflicting winds that were sweeping through the office.
How did you respond to that, Michael? And did you feel able at any point to make a shift or to be able to talk to your partners, or was that just something that wasn't going to budge?
Yeah, it's a different time in business and in restaurants in New York.
We're going back 30 years.
Right.
Yeah. It was a different time period.
Right.
Today, if our romance blossomed today, I'd probably get arrested.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought,
Or I'd get elected president.
The same thing these days.
Where's the sound effect for that, David?
But I also feel that's more kind of accepted also, that there aren't the same kinds of hidden rules and that it is a much more open
today
reality lifestyle today. Okay, so that's an interesting
perspective. There are more partnerships with front of house, back of house with couples, I think, in the industry now than there used to be comparatively and things like that.
But that's because more women have entered the
food world.
And I mean, one of the drawbacks of being in the restaurant industry is that you only get to see restaurant people.
Right.
So that naturally is how romances blossom in the food world.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people still deal with the same conflicts, though, as far as dating in the food world in the beginning, that you're always nervous about, is this going to become something significant or blow up in my face, and then I still have to see this person and work up
especially
with
when it's front of the house, back of the house.
Right.
Yes, and I often felt like I was on the losing end, that no matter what, I was going to be the one who either had to leave the job, the relationship, and do all of the kind of shifting. But it turned out to be a really wonderful experience for me, because I did find my voice then as a writer, which might not have happened.
I think if you're the woman, you still are, to a large extent. Mm-hmm. I think if you're the woman, you still are. But Ben,
I was just going to ask, you said it ended up being this wonderful thing, and I'm curious how you find, like, working together even still, you know, how do you balance each other out, and, like, what traits does he, you know, offer you that make you a better at what you do, and vice versa?
That's so great, because Michael has made me a much smarter person, a more curious person, and a much, much, much better writer. He was cruel in the beginning when he edited my first book, because, you know, Michael is an editor from Nation's Restaurant News, and maybe some of the longing and passion for that came out with my first manuscript, because he used to take a pencil and gouge my pages when he would make corrections. So that wasn't fun, but I learned how to stand up to that, and then to take all the wisdom that he was really giving, and he still edits, you know, for me. What do I do for you?
What do you do for dirt? Well, the first thing you did for me was make me a much better person, and that probably sums up the big benefit that I got out of this entire relationship. When I have food issues on a job that I'm working on, or menus that have to be developed, the first person I turn to is Roseanne, and generally it's the last person I turn to, because she has enormous instincts with respect to what people want to eat, and in creating the language that makes them want to salivate.
Can you speak a little more specifically to how she makes you a better person?
No.
She just does.
Did we get a round of applause for that one?
There we go.
You know, it's really funny. I feel in some ways that the best is yet to come. I mean, we are really evolving as people and as a couple. And I'm excited about that, even after being married, you know, all this time. There's something really great about that potential and possibility where in other relationships, you know, maybe it's kind of losing that energy and that wanting to really know each other better.
Well, to that point, out of the couples that we're interviewing in this series, you've been together in the industry the longest, and you've seen the most change in New York City in the work, both in restaurants and in food writing and in technology. How has the change within the industry itself, the industries that you work within, changed the dynamic of your relationship since you both are immersed in a wide variety of, you know, all of these different jobs? Like, how has that affected your schedules and your interactions? Like, how has the industry itself changed your relationship?
I think that the relationship has become better and easier, in large part because we've both recognized that we're older than everybody else, and we're both technologically incompetent, and that the world is passing us by. So, the stakes, quite honestly, the stakes are much lower than they were when we first began. Mm. And one of the reasons I've become a more better person is because the tension that existed at the beginning is gone, but the energy is still there. Mm.
Yes, I agree. Beautifully said, Michael. Thank you. But I think we have a slightly added extra to our relationship than most people don't. But something really amazing happened about 8.5 years ago. Michael has a son. I have a stepson from Michael's first marriage. And after my mother died, we were very, very close. And I was completely bereft and 52 years old and didn't have a child of my own. So after 20 years of saying no, Michael acknowledged and understood this deep need, and we adopted our daughter, Shayna, when she was 11 and a half. I was 52, Michael was 69, and our daughter is at Ithaca College as a junior. It was a really rough 8 years, I must tell you. She is spectacular. And this is, I think, another reason that Michael and I have a lot of hope and energy and excitement in our relationship. And it's made us both better people. I think it also brought out the very, very worst in me because there were so many challenges. But I'm very grateful that Michael said yes. And Shayna has certainly cracked his heart wide open. And, you know, there's another show there about the challenges of being two and then introducing a person who's already a person at 11 and a half. And she never had any parents. I mean, it's kind of a long, complicated story. But all of a sudden, we knew her one day. She came and she never left. And that was chapter two.
I knew there was a reason.
That's a really beautiful story that I was not expecting. And I'm very bowled over by it.
Yeah, I mean, especially at that stage of your relationship, too, to make such a, you know, take such a bold and drastic step to satisfy what you needed. I mean, that's
well, our
an
daughter,
incredible part of your journey.
You know, we were insistent that our daughter keep her name rather than change it. And her name is Shayna de Persia. So our doorbell looks like it reads Whiteman
like
Gold and DePersia, and it sounds like a law firm.
A very classy law firm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was so grateful to Michael. I somehow thought it would really be important for her to have one of our last names, but I never really changed my names. It would be Gold or Whiteman, and which one, and how do you do that? But Michael's rationale was, you know, she came with so little, and the only thing she really had was her name. And that he thought it was such an important idea to keep it, and I'm so grateful. And she is, too.
So looking, and this is a very large question because of all we've discussed and because of the longevity of your relationship, but for a couple in the early stages of their courtship, for a hospitality couple, what is maybe a simple or practical bit of advice you could give today as far as just, you know, keep this in mind, or a mantra, or a just, you know, like put this in your back pocket when you're unsure about something that you would, that you'd want some, you know, you'd want a young couple to know as they're figuring this out. Is there anything you can sort of recommend?
Yes. I think from the sort of female part of this, but, you know, that's not as important. Once upon a time, I had a very romantic notion of when you fall in love with someone, you become one. And I am so sure that is not the answer anymore, that I think it's fine to be one of a very close pair, whether romantically or if you're working together. But it is essential to have your own identity and not to kind of lose yourself in that, coming together, because two is actually much bigger than one in terms of what you can accomplish, and it's just exponentially better, and then you don't run the risk of losing yourself, as really did happen to me. So, and I think delineating responsibilities, talents, skill sets, and this idea of becoming or being the same person, be your own person, and then you can really have a much more, I think, valuable experience.
I need to add to what Roseanne said, rather than speaking for myself. In addition to all of the work that we've done together and the food work that Roseanne has done, Roseanne's gone on and reinvented herself twice, three times. So she became a four times James Beard Award winning cookbook author. And then she became deeply immersed in end of life care, which she's still doing. And then she got a Master of Fine Arts in poetry. So the questions that you asked us at the beginning, I think the better of the relationships are those that don't get the answers correct. Because it's the same thing as if we were together and spent our time finishing each other's sentences. Mm. Then once you do that, you lose your individuality. So to the extent that we answered the questions incorrectly, I think that reflects well on us.
Wow.
I like that takeaway.
I know. Listeners, before the show, we told them that this was sort of a selfish series because Ben and I want to gleam and pull wisdom to put in our own back pockets for the kind of relationships we want in the future. And I feel like that's happened a lot today.
Very much.
Yeah. So before we let you go, this is sort of a hit and miss thing when we ask people to do something like this, but we would like you to please describe what you love the most about your partner in only three words. So it can be three adjectives or it can be three words to make a phrase, but you only get three words, which Roseanne, you're both writers. So I have confidence in you more than I have in most people, because most people do not do three words. But can you?
But that just put the pressure on.
I just put so much pressure on you. Can you describe what you love the most about your partner in only three words, please?
Can I do it in two?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Overachiever. I love it.
Deeply empathic.
Deeply empathic.
Mm. Wow, I love that.
By the way, if I had to do three, I would say I'm empathic to a fault.
Yeah, you might be right about that, Michael. I trust Michael.
I feel like we need something even more than an awe at this point.
Another round of applause.
Yeah.
We fight like cats and dogs. I want you to know that
it's
too.
Good,
I know. We're like both sitting here sort of.
Yeah. It's a good day.
Warm-hearted.
It's a good day. Thank you so very much for coming into Heritage Radio today, Roseanne and Michael.
Thank you. I think this was important for us too.
Yes. Wow. Let's go out and have a fight.
Let's duke it out.
I'd rather have a pizza.
That's a better idea. David, thank you for really kicking ass at the sound effects today, man. You are on fire. Listeners, you can find more about Roseanne Gold and Michael Whiteman at our website, lovebitesradio.com. And full disclosure, I've worked with Roseanne as a writer several times before, so there are some links as to stories I've written with her both on my website, wordsfoodart.com, and pieces I've written about her in the past there. So if you want more about my nerdy love for Roseanne Gold, and a panel that I was on with Michael that Roseanne moderated. There's information about that as well at lovebitesradio.com. You can also follow Roseanne on Twitter as at Roseanne Gold. Michael is not on Twitter, as he is so lucky to not be. Yes.
So he'll never be president.
It's another thing I learned from this show.
I know, it is possible.
Get my ass off Twitter.
It is possible. You can find more about our upcoming guests in this series and about everyone we've had on before them at our website. And if you want to find out what we are up to since we are not live in the studio right now, come find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are at Love Bites Radio. Thank you, as always, to David, our engineer, for kicking ass. Our theme song is Give Love by the loveliest Josh Dionne, and we are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. Love Bites will be back at the same time next week right here at heritageradionetwork.org.
See ya.
Listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. How do I save the world?